Hey friends, welcome to the City Hope Podcast. My name is Bobby Thompson, and I have the privilege of serving as a lead pastor. I pray that today's message would inspire you, it would encourage you, and it would also challenge you in your walk with Christ. Enjoy today's sermon.
All right, the first crowd here, first service. Sometimes you act like you've never been in church before, so it's okay to smile and talk back, okay? My name is Shira, and I am so thankful that I get to share with you today, and I really believe that God has put a word on my heart that I have been wrestling with for a couple weeks now, so I can't wait to share it. Something when I think about Mother's Day, I think we all think about our mom, and when I think of my mom, I think of two distinct things. I think of one, she was always on her knees, literally praying in her little chair downstairs. If you couldn't find my mom, she was downstairs, sitting on her chair, kneeling on the ground praying, which I think is pretty amazing. Second thing I think about my mom is she was always giving, quietly giving. I don't think there was a week in my life that I don't remember my mom dropping groceries off on somebody's porch and leaving, writing a note to somebody with a check. And it was always anonymous, but she was always giving. So my children, this is great. My children, I'm going to show you what they gave me this morning. So first I got a mom birthday card. Then I got a, oh boy, you're one. And then I got a grandson. So I hope your cards were better than mine, but I'm going to read a poem. This is my favorite thing I received. If you were under 20, you are going to have to ask somebody what in the world this means. So get ready. Marley, I'm going to tell them you wrote this. So if you want a poem, go to Marley. My mom is so drip drop. She even likes to hop. She is my biggest op. And she loves to drink soda pop. I don't know if you know this, but op, that's not a good thing. So being a mother is not easy, especially in our world today. I remember when I was pregnant, I got this book, What to Expect When You're Expecting. Now it's an app, I am told. And it gave a lot of information. But I found that if you Googled advice for new moms, there's thousands of results. And even if you ask around, everyone, even the gentlemen in the room, have a different opinion on what you should do and what you should not. And sometimes when the advice is contradictory, it's really hard because in today's culture, making one parenting move that people can disagree with can lead to critical comments. You can't watch a video or see a photo of a mom that doesn't have something below telling them what they're doing wrong. I remember my first experience with that was with the 5-point car seat. And somebody had a very big opinion on my 5-point harness car seat. And I was like, what? What is wrong with you? And we also know that Mother's Day is not easy for anyone or for everyone. Perhaps you've lost your mother. Perhaps you have a difficult relationship with your mother, or no relationship at all. Perhaps you have lost a child, or you're one of the millions who are dealing with infertility. This week and this day can bring up a lot of pain. And I want you to know today that you are seen, not just the moms in the room, but the men, the dads, the teenager, the girls. And we all want to live a life that's meaningful. And I truly believe that that begins where we place our trust. The only meaning we can find is going to come from Jesus. So let's pray. Jesus, we love you. I thank you, God, just for days to celebrate. I pray that we will handle this day full of you and your Holy Spirit. That anybody who is in this room right now and they are broken and hurting and just barely keeping it together, God, I pray for them. I pray for the person in this room who just wants to be married or they just want to have a baby or who they are in a family and they feel so alone. God, just be with us this morning as I open your word. Amen. A little early me crying. Sorry, guys. So this day is hard. I know that. I was talking to a friend yesterday. This day is really hard for her. She was not looking forward to it. And so it's tender when you have people walking through things that are really, really hard. But we're going to look at Proverbs 31 just for a second. Because it's wisdom, you don't have to open your Bible because I'm only sitting there for about 30 seconds. So I'll tell you when to open your Bible. But it talks about wisdom. And it says, okay, well, if you want to be a good mom, number one, don't drink too much. Okay? Number two, well, don't forget to defend those in need. I think those are pretty good things. Don't get drunk. It's hard to be a good mom when you're drunk. Okay? Don't forget people around you who are in need. And then the chapter starts turning to a wife of noble character. And whether this is intentional or not, I have been going to church for 43 years. Okay? So this is my perspective. But it often just makes me feel inferior. It often makes me feel like I'm not good enough. And I really think we sell ourselves short and we sell the word of God short when we think that this is all God says about women or being a mom. And so we're going to look at a story, and this story is fascinating. I have read about this story for years, didn't think anything of it until I started preparing for the message today. So we're going to look in Genesis, which is the first book of the Old Testament. We're going to start in the end of chapter 11. I'm going to start reading verse 29 and 30. So before I read it, so you're not confused, okay? We're going to talk about Abraham and Sarah. That is their changed name. Right now, their names are Abram and Sarai. So when you hear me say either, it is the same people, so you won't get confused. I know that can be confusing. In verse 29, Abram and Nahor took wives. Abram's wife was Sarai, and Nahor's wife was Milcah. She was a daughter of Haran, the father of both Milcah and Iscah. You like those names, don't you? Sarai was unable to conceive. She did not have a child. So we know that she is married to Abraham. We know that she is not able to what? Have a child, okay? And so over the next several chapters, and I encourage you, don't just listen to me, go home and read this. Over the next several chapters, we watch her story unfold. And the Lord makes really big promises to Abram. Actually, I'm going to test your Bible knowledge. God says, Abraham, you're going to have as many descendants as the stars in the sky. Have you guys ever looked at the stars? There is so many, okay? And by Genesis 16, that was in 11, we're going to pop down to 16. In Genesis 16, Sarah still hasn't given birth. And so it's here that we're going to talk about the second mom we're going to look at, and it's Hagar. So we're going to talk about Sarah, and we're going to talk about Hagar. In Genesis chapter 16, this is where we're introduced to our second star of the show today. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children, but she had an Egyptian slave named Hagar. So she said to Abram, the Lord has kept me from having children. Go sleep with my slave. Perhaps I can build a family through her. Does that make anybody go, huh? If it doesn't, then I think there might be something wrong with you. Okay, everybody go, huh? Okay, thank you. So we're going to talk about truths during hard times. This is what I do know, okay? I am so blessed. You're probably so blessed. But we all walk through really hard times. And sometimes nobody knows about the hard times we're walking through, right? We're going to talk about two truths when we're walking through a hard time. The first is hopelessness leads to hard decisions. In Sarah's hopelessness, she allows her feelings, okay, I want to say that again, she allows her feelings to lead her away from God's promise to her. God told her, you are going to have children. But she wasn't patient. She was like, yeah, this is taking too long. I love this quote by John Piper. I say it to myself at least once or twice a week because I have a lot of feelings. Does anybody else have a lot of feelings? I'm real passionate. Well, three of us in the room. I'm really passionate, and it is a blessing, not a blessing. I have a lot of feelings, and I want to read this quote to you because I say it to myself a lot. John Piper says, my feelings are not God. God is God. My feelings do not define truth. God's word defines truth. My feelings are echoes and responses to what my mind perceives. And sometimes, many times, they are out of sync with the truth. Sarah was letting her feelings run her life in her heart right now. And so her solution, even though it's super strange and a little crazy, is, hey, husband, go make a baby with my servant. Do we feel like that's a great thing to do? No. Okay. So I want to just point this to you. And this isn't for the moms. This is for everybody in this room that is breathing. What decisions do you make when you feel like God is silent? What decisions do we make when we feel like God is so distant we can't see him? What do I do when I feel like nobody even sees me? What do you do when you feel like God sees everybody else but not me? You may feel invisible. You may feel empty, lonely, lost. And so Sarah is desperate. In a lot of cultures and time periods, women are defined by their relationship to motherhood. And so you may be thinking, well, Shira, this doesn't apply to me, but I really wish God would bring me a husband. Or, well, why hasn't God given me a baby? Why am I in a marriage that is so hard I can barely make it? And to make matters more difficult for Sarah, she did have this huge prophecy. Remember, what did God tell him? As many kids as the stars in the sky. She had that hanging over her and constantly in her mind. And I think that would be excruciating, right? That's like us. We know that God is good. We know he's walking before us. But sometimes it's excruciating because we don't see it, right? Has anybody ever been in a situation where you knew God was there, but you sure didn't feel him? The second truth about going through a hard time, this one's really good. Hard decisions sometimes lead to harder living. So, as most of us have already predicted, okay, this situation turns sour real quick. It's like the Real Housewives of Genesis, all right? Thank you for laughing. I thought that was funny. So, surprise, surprise, guys. Sarah and Hagar, they did not get along. In fact, Sarah treats Hagar so badly, which honestly, I understand, that Hagar's like, well, peace out. She ran into the desert to get away from Sarah. And in Genesis 16, it says, the angel of the Lord found Hagar near a spring in the desert. It was a spring that is beside the road to Shur. And he said, Hagar, slave of Sarai, where have you come from? And where are you going? I'm running away from my mistress, Sarah. She answered, this is big. And the angel of the Lord told her, go back to your mistress and submit to her. I will increase your descendants so much that they'll be too numerous to count. Thankfully, God is not like us. Thankfully, God is not run by his emotions and his feelings. And when Hagar felt utterly hopeless, God drew near to her. When Hagar felt like nothing was going right in her life, God spoke to her. And if you keep looking in the passage, the angel of the Lord goes on and makes several other promises. And Hagar is so moved, which I think we all be if an angel stood and talked to us. She was so moved that she gave God a name. And I hope when you walk out, if you remember one thing, it's this name, El Roy, the God who sees me. And we look in the Bible and Hagar's situation is dire, I would say. But we look in my life, you look in your life. She experienced God during hard times. El Roy, everybody say El Roy. The God who sees me. The God who sees you. It says this name in chapter 16, verse 13. She gave this name to the Lord who spoke to her. You are the God who sees me. And listen to this. I have now seen the one who sees me. Hope is found and being seen. And if I've learned anything in my life, I tend to learn things the hard way. It doesn't really matter what men say about me, because God sees me. It doesn't really matter what people may say about me, because who sees me? God sees. What about you're walking through something that is really hard? God sees you. And I think that this gives us a new perspective. Hope is found in being seen. Hagar had a new perspective. Did her situation change? It did not. And that is the hardest thing about this. God didn't pick her up and say, you know what? Here's a real husband. You're no longer a slave. She stayed in the same situation, but she had a new perspective. I believe that this is how she saw God. She saw God as a Prince of Peace, a peace that passes any understanding. My heart's cry in my life is that people will not say, oh, Shira's so good at being a mom, which is really hard. Or I want them to say she has peace, a peace that in hard situations passes all understanding. Our God is the everlasting Father. Our God is the mighty God. He can do miracles. Our God is a God who sees me. He sees our kids. He sees our marriage. He sees the desires of your heart. Our God is a God who knows my name. He knows the hair on my head, which is a lot. I have really thick hair. Pastor Bobby doesn't. So, you know, I would say God knows me better. Wouldn't you guys agree? You know? Sorry. That's for showing the car accident to everybody in church last year. All right. My bad. But hope is found in God, not my circumstances. Often, God doesn't remove us from the hard circumstance. He's just there with us. How about you? Where are you today? I want you to really think about this. Don't think about anybody else in the room. Where are you today? Do you feel invisible? Do you feel hopeless? Do you feel numb? God sees. Do you believe that God sees you right where you are? Right where you're at? Do you believe that even though all the stuff that's gone wrong for you, God is there? What about all the stuff that's gone right for us? God is there. Elroy, the God who sees me. And what we believe about God is going to determine how we respond, right? Thankfully, God speaks to Abram once more and confirms his promise that Sarah will have a child. But it isn't until about 25 years later, 25 years, you guys, 25 years. That's a long time. And her response might surprise you. In Genesis 18, it says, the Lord appeared to Abraham near the great trees of Mamre while he was sitting at the entrance of his tent in the heat of the day. Abram looked up and he saw three men standing nearby. When he saw them, he hurried to the entrance of the tent to meet them and bow low to the ground. So Abraham greets them, he welcomes them to the camp, and this is where the promise of a child was going to be fulfilled after a very long 25 years. Let's pull this back to Sarah, because she's the star of this show. Where is your wife, Sarah? Do you think they knew where Sarah was? Yes. They asked him, well, they're in the tent, he said. Then one said, I will surely return to you, but this time next year. And Sarah, your wife, she's going to have a son. Sarah was listening, like a good wife does, at the entrance of the tent, which was behind him. Abram and Sarah were very old. That feels good. And Sarah was past the age of childbearing. So she laughed and she thought, I'm worn out and old. Will I now have this pleasure? I like to think she really was sarcastic. When Sarah overheard the visitor's message, historians estimate that she's around 89 or 90 years old. And she knows at this point that it would have to be God. This does not say this in the Bible, but I'm going to tell you my thoughts on this. I think God knew that she needed to wait, and I think God knew that it had to be him. I think God knows when we're at the end, he's not going to jump in until it has to be God. Because hopelessness makes the promise of God seem hilarious, right? When we're hopeless, we're like, oh my goodness, yeah, you can't, that's not going to work out. It makes the promise of God funny. That's what hopelessness does to us. In fact, after she laughed at the idea, there's really good news in this. Because Sarah's lack of hope, it didn't disqualify her from the miracle to come. That's good. Thankfully, God doesn't follow us around and say, oh, you don't have enough faith, you don't have enough hope, I'm not going to be there. So Sarah's lack of hope didn't disqualify her from the miracle. And in a year, she did have the promised child, little quiz, what's his name? Isaac. I need some of my Bible students in here. They wouldn't know that one. Okay, his name's Isaac. And Hagar also had a son. Anybody know his name? Starts with the I. Ishmael, okay? And the journey of trust was just beginning. Sarah had to trust that God's promises were going to come true for their son. Hagar's difficult situation, it also didn't disqualify her from God's promises. Hagar's actually going to get kicked out of the house again with her son. And this is, we're going all the way to chapter 21. And Hagar and Ishmael were sent away. And they had a little thing of bread and a little vase cup thing for water to go into the desert with her and her child. That's it. And when Ishmael became really sick and hot in the desert, they didn't have any food or water. His mother put him under a shade tree and went away because she didn't want to see her son die. She lifted her voice, and while she wept for her son, who's also crying, she didn't weep because she was lost. She didn't weep because Sarah treated her terribly. She wept because she didn't have any more food and any more water. She wept because she knew God heard her, because remember, she gave the name to God, El Roi, the God who sees. And when she opened her eyes, it says in the Bible that she saw a well of water. And guess what? They didn't die. But I like this because God doesn't wait until we're in a certain box and then say, now it's time. God waits, I believe, till we're at the end of the rope and we have nothing else to try, right? Because most men try to fix it. Sometimes you can't fix life. You can't fix things. And what's hard when it comes to parenting is, yeah, there's a lot of books for parenting. There's a lot of TikToks. And there's mothers in the Bible. There's a lot of advice on parenting. But none of it is as good as El Roi, the God who sees me. And Hagar is a really good, she's a really good example of being a single mom. She's a really good example of being in a really harsh situation. She's a really good example of somebody here who feels like they have to take care of their children alone. She's an example of a rejected woman. All of us have been rejected. Do you guys believe that? Every woman, every man, we've all been rejected. Some of us, maybe this week. She's a really good version, an example of God's going to intervene. He is going to provide, but we need to open our eyes. There's a lot of Hagars in this world, and there's a lot of broken marriages and hurting, and that's one reason why we want to start the Hope Center. We're passionate about helping moms and dads and singles and college and everything in between and giving them hope. It's amazing to me that at the end of Proverbs 31, it says, charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Honor her for all that her hands have done, and let her works bring praise to the city gate. And if we're honest, when we read that, we think, what the heck? That's for somebody else, right? But this is what I know about Sarah and Hagar. Jesus' message isn't for those of us who think we have all of it together. But I think we listen more closely to Jesus when we know we don't. Maybe you're sitting here today and you're like, well, you know, that sounds lovely. And I'm not Sarah. I don't relate to Hagar, but I do feel alone. This is what's awesome about Jesus is we can find true rest in his presence. Choosing to follow Jesus means beginning a journey of transformation where every step we are following Jesus. I heard this song the other day, and I'm going to read this and then we'll close, but I think it's by Ann Wilson. And I would sing it, but you guys might run out if you're screaming, so I'm going to read it, okay? And this, I think, sums up what we feel, what Hagar felt, what Sarah felt. Are you past the point of weary? Is your burden weighing heavy? Is it all too much to carry? Let me tell you about my Jesus. Do you feel that empty feeling? A shame, it's done its dealing. You're desperate for some healing. Let me tell you about my Jesus. And this is what I do know. Jesus makes a way when there ain't no way. I know that this was a lot of information about Hagar. This is a lot of information about Sarah. But as I've been studying, and literally I feel like I have been wrestling with this word, God just keeps telling me, Elroy, the God who sees. Elroy, the God who sees. He sees that nobody else sees. He sees the hurt that maybe nobody even knows is there. He sees the desires of our heart that are just so simple, but it hasn't happened for us yet. Elroy, the God who sees. In a world of social media and in a world of just looking good on the outside, and goodness, I mean, I got a new dress for today. It's fun to look good, okay? But in a world that is so critical, I am just reminded that God sees you right where you're at. Maybe you're in a bad place and you're like, I want nothing to do with this. My mom made me come to church today and this is terrible. God still sees you. Or maybe you think, I don't know who Jesus is, but I know I'm a sinner, and I know that there is not transformation, and maybe today is your day of salvation. How amazing. I asked Jesus to come to my heart on Mother's Day, and you're sitting here, and you're saying, I've never made that step. When I lay down at night, I do not have peace. When I lay down at night, I have worries. And you think, I've never taken that step of asking Jesus to come into my heart and saying, I believe that I'm a sinner and I believe that Jesus died on the cross and rose again. Or maybe this morning you're sitting here and you're thinking, you know what? I need to up my mom game. I need to up my game of looking around for others and not being so obsessed with my children that I don't see other people. Maybe you're sitting here and you're in a hard marriage, wife or husband. And you're like, does God see how hard I'm working? Or maybe your deepest desire today is to have a baby. God sees you. I can't give you any answer because I'm not God. But I do know that if you ask for Jesus to come, where is he going to come? You just have to say the name Jesus and he's there. Or maybe today you're letting the devil win your joy. You're letting him destroy you. I think I have said Elroy 45,000 times in this past week. God sees. The God sees. Maybe you need to start making that a practice. Write it on your hand. Get a tattoo. Elroy, the God sees. As we close, I just want you to think about two things. Number one, where am I at? Number two, who am I pouring into? Because if God sees, who else should see? Should we see others? Maybe you do that really well. I don't always. The God who's got your heads in prayer. Jesus, I thank you that you see us. You don't see the fancy version of us. You see the authentic and true person that we are. I pray over each person in this room, God. I pray over the moms who have hurts and aches, or they have victories that we will look in the mirror and see what God sees, that we'll be confident and raise up a generation, God, that goes into this world and we make such a difference for you. I pray that you will bind the enemy's hand, that you will not let him win in any of our families. You will not let him win in our minds, God, that we will be ready to squash out the sin and impurities, that we will believe that we are made in the image of God. I pray for the person who's sitting here today and they don't have a relationship with you. I pray that you, Holy Spirit, will convict their hearts. Show them that following you is all that we have to live for. I pray for the marriage in the room that is broken. I pray for divine healing and that people will look and say, that had to have been God who did that because there was no hope. I pray for the woman today who maybe wants to be married or she wants a baby so bad, God, be near. Be their peace, be their strength, give them hope. God, we love you, we honor you, and life is so complicated, but you are so simple. I pray that we will continuously just say your name and invite you into our lives. We love you, we honor you. Thank you for the word of God. What a gift. In your name, amen.
Thanks again for tuning in with us today. We would love to connect with you, and the best way to do that is through social media or go straight to our website. God bless you and have a wonderful day.